If you've been told to pull up your socks, then make sure it's a pair of TNT socks. The TNT shop is now open at TNTRadio.live. Welcome to Lynn's Warriors, ground zero in the war to protect our children. And now, Lynn Shaw on today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Let's do this. I am so ready today. Welcome. This is Warrior Saturday, October 7th, 2023 on today's News Talk 24/7 Global TNT Radio. And I am Lynn Shaw, the Warrior. And today you are my Warrior for the next hour and beyond. Community creates change. Thank you for joining us. Please settle in, listen up, get ready to take your weekly Warrior notes. You know the drill. We have so much to cover. We're coming to you live from a very dark and kind of rainy New York City. So let's rock and roll and get to it. Free speech right here, 24-hour news talk, TNT Radio. You have no excuse. Please check out all of the past episodes of Lynn's Warriors. Hit the episodes tab and all of the other fantastic, fabulous shows right here on TNT because we cover the headlines few want to dive into or, you know, ask questions. But we ask a lot of questions here on TNT. Remember, truth, not propaganda. The Warriors, always based on facts, 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 just what you need to know. Here's one thing. This is the only thing you need to know. There is a war on for our children, not only in the United States, but around the globe. So it is time for all of us to take action. A reminder, it is 2023. You don't have the luxury of sitting on the sidelines anymore. You must take action. And just to throw out a warning, the program may be disturbing. But I don't care because you know what? It is all true. And we talk about things you may not hear. You probably won't hear anywhere else. So buckle up. You've been warned. We have just started the month of October. And for me, what's October really about? It's not about Halloween. It's not about the leaves falling off the trees, weather changing. Well, it could be. And it is. But for us at the Warriors, it's time to remind you that October is National Domestic Violence Awareness Month. And I want to tell you about this because there is a tremendous intersection of domestic violence and human trafficking. Human trafficking, you know, domestic violence is something that just came out into the public, I want to say about 30 years ago or so. We had a movie which really brought it to the forefront with Farrah Fawcett. I'm dating myself a bit, but I think people will remember Farrah Fawcett called The Burning Bed. And that really got the conversation, the discussion going about what domestic violence is. So again, about three decades of domestic violence. And my wish is that human trafficking, sex trafficking, labor trafficking, that we will bring it out to the forefront, just like we brought out the domestic violence. But there is this tremendous intersection. Now, I want to remind you, how did I get started in all of this? It's probably one of my number one questions people will always ask me. And my history, how I became obsessed with human trafficking, sex trafficking, labor, forced servitude, you name it, is because I was working with a client who was writing a book, an author, about her journey with domestic violence, a very well-known person here in New York and around the country. And I was guiding her through the process. And in doing that, I was researching, blogging, doing all of the social media behind her name. And, you know, I realized, what is this human trafficking? Although I consider myself fairly well-read, smart, I did not know the extent of it. And I am talking about right here in the United States, not across the globe, right here in our own backyards, right here in New York City. So as you know, because it intersected with what I was researching with the domestic violence. And that's really my story. And it's been full steam ahead ever since, because I can't think of a better legacy to leave for myself, for my children, for my family, for my community, for my country, for everybody around the world, than working, digging in on this, exposing things, giving you resources, giving you takeaways, making you aware of legislative actions. Because again, I'm going to remind you, it's 2023 and we all, it's a different world. It's a different country. We all need to step up and do something. And I could no longer just sit on the sidelines, especially as a mother, hearing about children being abused and trafficked. It was unimaginable to me. I had to take action. And I really could not believe this was allowed to go on, of all places, the United States. And the Warriors were born, and that's the story. So let's get back to the intersection of human trafficking and domestic violence. So we know there's about 50 million victims, and this is worldwide, human trafficking. That's what we know about. Could be double, could be 100 million. We just don't know. This is what we know about 50 million. And it really is one of the most pressing, urgent issues of our time right now. And it involves human trafficking, force, fraud, or coercion. That is it, to control victims, to control a person for the purpose of usually engaging in commercial sex acts or labor services against somebody's will. That's it. And while it's common for trafficking to include multiple perpetrators rather than a single abuser, most often, over 60% of the time, the trafficker is a person that the victim has loved and trusted, perhaps a family member, a boyfriend, a girlfriend. So it's important to recognize that human trafficking and domestic violence, they don't occur in silos. And what that means is they don't occur separately. They cross over. There's this marked overlap in the pattern of behaviors that both abusers and traffickers use to exert this power and control over a victim. And a lot of this is intimate partner trafficking occurring. Now, what does that mean? Occurring when a partner, again, a boyfriend, a girlfriend, husband, wife, compels, urges, forces, okay, their partner to engage in this commercial sex, this forced labor, this involuntary servitude. I mean, I am shocked to know right here in the United States, I know of cases right here in New York State where children are working in homes as domestics, minors. You know, and sometimes these trafficked individuals, they live with their trafficker, they're subjected to this physical violence in order to make them go out and have this commercial sex or force them into this labor. And that is emotional manipulation goes along with that. It's an overbearing control. And those are the hallmarks of domestic violence. And that's why it intersects with human trafficking. And a reminder that domestic violence is prevalent. And this is something we have to all wrap our heads around, bring out, you know, we can't be embarrassed. The goal is to talk about it, find a solution, move forward, but also intervene to educate so we don't have new victims of all of this. Because here's the truth. The truth is we're not going to stop domestic violence. I don't like to say this, but I have to. We are not going to stop human trafficking. But what we can do is chip away every single day and educate. Public awareness, number one thing, public awareness. But always, always, we at the Warriors, we want to come away with, here's your takeaway. Here's what you can do. It's not good enough to talk about how bad everything is. There always has to be a resource, a take action. But I want to tell you that domestic violence is prevalent in every community. It affects all people. All people, regardless of age, socioeconomic status, sexual orientation, gender, race, religion, or nationality. Physical violence is often accompanied by emotionally abusive and controlling behavior. Now, I pause there for a minute because I know I talk fast. I'm trying to slow down because this is a lot of information to take in. But this controlling behavior is as much a part of, you know, it's this larger pattern of dominance and control. That's what you have to know about all of this. Dominance and control, human trafficking, dominance and control. Domestic violence, dominance and control, and the devastating consequences, you know, the psychological trauma, even death. And the psychological trauma, you don't save somebody or rescue. I don't like those words because the trauma, because I work with victims, I work with survivors, they last. This trauma lasts a lifetime. Somebody will have a good day. Somebody will have a bad day. This is an ongoing process. And that is why we fight so hard for resources. It is not good enough to help somebody for 1 month. We have to help somebody for years. We have to have ongoing medical, psychological, housing, education to get them out of this. They need purpose in life. I can't tell you how people I work with will say to me, working at a job where maybe they made $20. And they tell me, I made that $20. I'm proud of myself. I earned that $20. It's not, the solutions are not hard. It is hard getting people to understand this is what is needed and to open up their wallets and pocketbooks. And that goes for the public and it goes for our federal government, state government, city government. But we're working on it. But you know, the human trafficking and domestic violence, if we don't raise our voices, we cannot allow our children to think this is the way we grow up. This is normal. We have to start talking about it. And there really are a lot of resources and take actions. People just don't know anything about them. And that's why I constantly say to you, community creates change. A great resource for you is the National Network to End Domestic Violence. And that is nnedv.org, National Network to End Domestic Violence. And also a great resource, parents, caregivers for children. To learn about what goes through children's minds or what children need is the National Child Traumatic Stress Network. And that is nctsn.org. Again, nctsn.org. You know, physical abuse, domestic violence is a mechanism of, again, I want to keep saying this to you. I want to drill it into your head so you understand, exerting power and control over another person, over a child. And this person always uses, in both cases, very subtle tactics to make it possible for them to exert this control over the victim without raising a fist even. The psychological damage, I'm told from people I work with, is far, they can take the physical abuse. I know that sounds horrible and awful, but it's that psychological abuse that is worse for them. That is what they tell me all the time. You know, the abusers, the traffickers, they isolate their victims, allowing them to redefine a victim's reality and making them feel as though there's no one to turn to. There's no one in the world. They're dependent upon them for everything, for their food, for their shelter. And also, if we have anybody who is an illegal alien or is here, you know, without papers, you know, they will hold that over their heads and threaten them with deportation, or they'll threaten their families back home if they don't comply with these demands of the trafficker or the abuser. And they also scare them about law enforcement. That's another one, but we'll get into that later. And they're also denied access to money, financial resources necessary to leave. Where are they going to go? They tell me they had no food. They have no roof over their heads. They don't have a dime in their pocket. They don't know. They're scared. So in this effort to control, sometimes, and this is pretty drastic, but it does happen, the traffickers, the abusers will impregnate a victim, a woman or a girl, claiming the existing children as their own so they can use the threat of violence or separation as another tool to manipulate a victim into compliance. And for kids going through any sort of domestic violence, the effects, the mental, they're scared. Things like bedwetting, you know, things like they can't talk. They don't make eye contact. We have to remember more than 3 women a day are murdered by their husbands and boyfriends in the United States. This is what we know about. And women experience over 2 million injuries from intimate boyfriend, girlfriend, husband, wife, whatever you want to say these days, intimate violence from their partner, their intimate partner violence. That's all. Think about this. And many of these women are mothers who often go to great and courageous lengths to protect their children from abusive partners. In fact, research has shown that the non-abusing parent is often the strongest protective factor in the lives of children who are exposed to domestic violence. However, growing up in a violent home is completely terrifying and traumatic. And you know what? The children are exhibiting aggressive behaviors, anxious, depressed, hyperactive. It's hard to tell who might be a victim of this because kids, you know, we have this youth mental health crisis today. Kids are traumatized since COVID, completely before COVID, escalated during COVID. And that's why each and every one of us, we have to be on the lookout. We have to know what's going on. We have to know what the resources are. We have to know who to call. And also females, girls who are exposed to their parents' domestic violence are significantly at more risk of becoming victims of dating violence than kids who have nonviolent parents. So we have to talk about all of this. And the physical abuse during childhood increases further victimization. And you know what's shocking is that these patterns, these children grow up like this, but often they repeat these patterns. So we have to break these chains. We have to come forward. We have to talk about everybody is vulnerable. It can happen to anybody, domestic violence, human trafficking. And we have to understand that it leads to so many other things: substance abuse, drinking, mental health concerns, involvement with the child welfare system. That's a whole other program. That's a failure. We have runaway homeless youth. Vulnerability, that is the key. Anybody who is vulnerable, and today a lot of people are vulnerable. Learn more. Always go to lynnswarriors.org, the website. A reminder, we have a lot of resources and take actions for you coming up. And I am so thrilled about this and honored that John Pizzurro will join me. John serves as Raven's CEO after spending multiple years in the New Jersey State Police as commander of the New Jersey Internet Crimes Against Children, ICAC, ICAC Task Force. What's Raven? Well, you need to know, and you need to know how you can help. A must listen. Don't go anywhere. This is today's News Talk, TNT Radio.
TNT Radio's Ross Cameron.
If you've ever watched half a dozen lorikeets eating seeds on your balcony, you will often find that there will be one lead bully lorikeet who eats, he's twice as big as the others, eats half the seeds and spends half their time bullying the other lorikeets away from the food. But nonetheless, we have apparently developed this sort of forensic ability to identify the line between discipline and bullying and belittling. And certainly the latest Gen Y and those following are acutely sensitive to the bullying argument. But the bullying argument provoked an inquiry into Attorney General Elise Archer. And as the inquiry began to unfold, a number of text messages sent privately between the attorney and some colleague or colleagues was discovered by the Australian newspaper, who have rather gleefully published them.
Ross Cameron on TNT Radio.
A better business tip from TNT Radio. The benefits of advertising on today's News Talk, TNT Radio, should be clear to businesses of any shape or size. It can be accessed anywhere, anytime, by anybody, and is the perfect way to build brand awareness and stimulate digital activity. If you'd like more information about advertising on TNT Radio, simply fill out your details on our contact page and we'll be in touch. To find out more, go to tntradio.live.
Not the station for people who label truth as misinformation just because they don't like it.
For facts and truth.
Today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
It is a complete honor to have John Pizzurro join me today. He is the CEO of Raven, and Raven exists to transform our nation's response to child exploitation. Before this, John spent 25 years in the New Jersey State Police, my home state, John, New Jersey, with the last 6 years being spent as the commander of the New Jersey Internet Crimes Against Children, ICAC, we call it ICAC, Task Force. John led a team of 200, including 71 law enforcement agencies. His task force arrested over 1,500 people that preyed on the innocent. I want to quote John here. Raven was formed to bring together subject matter experts through multiple disciplines, including experts in policy, laws, investigations, education, and research. Collectively, Raven brings over 200 years of experience to form the only advocacy group in the United States focused on our most important resource, our children. The website, I am urging you, go there now, raven.us. That is R-A-V-E-N, raven.us. John Pizzurro, welcome to the Warriors.
Thanks, Lynn. Thank you so much for having me today.
Absolutely. And I'm going to name you. I'm not going to wait till the end of our interview. I'm going to say right at the top that you're one of the biggest warriors I know, and you are at the forefront of all of this. You've had an incredible career in law enforcement. Tell us a little bit about your background. Why this? Why kids? I did see you say that this was the most, you kind of were switched around during your career into different, you know, avenues, but you found this the most productive. So fill us in about all of this.
So without a doubt, so starting in the state police, I had spent time in corruption, organized crime, homicide, none of that, there's none of that in New Jersey, right? So, you know, between reality.
John, don't you be picking on my home state there. I know you're.
Somehow I found myself in child exploitation and as running the ICAC task force, and it was the most purposeful. So I think one of the challenges is that every year, you know, we would have 100% increases and we would arrest 100. Then the next year it'd be 150 and then it'd be 250. And the reality is that it's just gotten worse, or it got worse and worse. So how do we fix it? So Raven was born out of an idea where basically we weren't allowed to talk. We weren't allowed to lobby. We weren't allowed to change things. So the only way and the biggest gap was the legislative gap. So who better than to take people that have worked in the field and use that experience and knowledge to take it to the Hill and try to really have transformative change?
Okay, John, now I'm going to skip ahead. You know, I have all my questions here, but I got to tell you, I am the biggest cheerleader, biggest warrior. What you just laid out is exactly what is needed. Why is our Congress, first of all, these are bipartisan issues, anything to do with kids, children, people, youth, you know, bipartisan, doesn't belong to a political party, human rights abuses. Why is it so tough with our Congress to really get anything over the finish line? Because we're working on so many different bills right now. What's the standstill?
Well, you look at focus, look at, you got the Democrats are focused on Trump. The Republicans are focused on Biden. You have debt ceilings. What happens every time you make a little bit of progress, there's another issue or challenge that really ends up taking the forefront, which causes distraction. So I think the biggest challenge, and I noticed this, and this is just in life, when you have momentum, it's easy to continue. So what we have to do is we have to press momentum. So like, even for example, we had a hearing, I testified in the Senate in February. We pass certain child laws out of the Judiciary Committee, but there's still no vote on the floor. That's back on February, right? So now fast forward, I'm trying to push it in the House. I testify in the House in the Crime Subcommittee. And now we're worried about a government shutdown, or now we're worried about a new speaker. So all those little things, what they do is they just kind of deviate from the challenges that we're doing and draw focus elsewhere. You know, it's funny, Lynn, I probably had this year alone, we've met with 67 different legislative offices between the House and the Senate. And to a T, the conversations with staffers are great. The conversations with representatives are great. But the reality is, I think out of that 67, I would say 50 didn't even understand the scale and scope of the issue until we spoke to them. So I think that is one of the biggest challenges. And right now, one of the biggest challenges is the House. The Senate has been there a while, but the House, there's a lot of turnover. So we have found ourselves educating a lot more, and no one has even given the law enforcement perspective or in the field or the experience from people that actually were doing the actual cases.
Which is exactly what is needed. Now, let's go back a little bit. Internet crimes against children, ICAC. Tell us a little bit. Let our listeners understand, what is that and what does it do? Because I want everybody to understand what's going on, the whole landscape here.
So basically, in 2008, the Protect Our Children Act actually helped organize the Internet Crimes Against Children Task Force. And what happens is, most of your cyber tips from the National Center of Missing and Exploited Children, once they go there, they go to a specific state. So there are 61 task forces throughout the U.S. New Jersey had one, for example. California had five. And it is a partnership of state, local, federal agencies that really their primary focus is child exploitation investigations. So the Protect Our Children Act, which was formed in 2008, which we're rewriting right now because nothing's changed. At the time, like 2008, there was what, one computer? Now there's 20 internet capable devices. So with ICAC, they're responsible for handling the tips and handling the deluge of cases on a daily basis. So, and if I just look in New Jersey, between 2015 and 2019, there was a 400% increase. So, and that is just representative of the U.S., but they're doing all the cases, but they really don't get that support. They don't even get the support from the agencies themselves. Thus, the only funding they do get and focus is from the Office of Juvenile Justice, Delinquency and Prevention, which is a mouthful, OJJDP. But that is really the administrator of the ICAC Task Force program.
Yeah, you know, John, I just have to bring up, I get so upset every day. I'm here in the middle of New York City, and I'm seeing, as we all are, just billions going into, you know, Ukraine. And we've got all these illegal aliens right now. I have really seen in the last month, our streets in New York are definitely changed and not for the, you know, better, and all this money being focused on that, yet our precious children and law enforcement not being given the tools, the resources to dig in and start handling all of this. But let me back up. I'm all over the place with you because I have so many questions for you. I do know a couple of weeks ago, you did testify on September 13th. And also along with Raven member John Mattson, the House Judiciary Subcommittee on Crime and Federal Government Surveillance. Now, this was relating to the rise of CSAM, child sexual abuse material. How did they react to this? Because I'm going back to, we are trying so hard and you're out there boots on the ground. What was the takeaway again? You just think they don't understand it? They don't really, again, they're distracted again with everything you mentioned earlier, the government shutdown and Trump and elections and Biden. I don't understand when it comes to kids, how people couldn't sit up in their chair and say, we have to do something right now. We have to give law enforcement monies. We have to give Raven monies to start conquering this.
So the funny part is I had a couple members come up to me afterwards after the hearing and didn't realize, wow, I didn't realize the problem was so bad. We need to give you whatever support we can. And then the speaker drama happened. But just to give you like a money perspective, is that if you look at the counter drug budget, somewhere of $40 billion with a B, if all in child exploitation is $200 million, right? So I'll even go further, is that right now there's $1.3 billion in just state grants for narcotics. And now fentanyl's an issue, trafficking is an issue. But if you take a look, I'm not a psychologist, but if you look at the victimization of online exploitation, those children who've been exploited are more likely to use drugs or be trafficked later on. Just look at adverse childhood experiences because of the victimization. So it's a quality of life thing, yet we don't put any money. Just to give you an example, is in 2008, the ICAC task force was authorized for $60 million. The most they ever received is $31 million. So you're talking every parameter has gone up significantly, yet there's no money.
I'm still always shocked about all of this, John. Like I'm just not understanding. Because as you and me are just sitting here talking, I want the listener to understand that many more children have been exploited. People have been exploited, children in particular. Lay out the landscape, because this is something people find shocking every day. I talk about it here in New York City, John. The landscape of the internet and how dangerous. What's going on with these big tech platforms?
So let's talk about it this way, right? One out of nine children don't disclose that they've been victimized. So that's problematic right there. There's victims that we can't get to. Part of the reason is, right, you take your phone and you're on the internet. Well, if you think about it from a fear system, all of a sudden you're walking down a dark alley, you're worried about something. But when you're at home and you're on your phone, your fear flight freeze doesn't activate, right? So you're easily manipulated. There is no age identification. There's no identity verification. There's poor moderation. So even if on Discord, which is a significant app, every single one of these platforms has a chat platform. And as a groomer, it's simple. And if you like Stevie Nicks and I say, hey, do you like Stevie Nicks? And I repeat the same language to him in grooms and chats, there's nothing there in your home to indicate that there's some sort of danger. And grooming is so pervasive and people fall for it all the time. And even children that have a good family life, but forget the children that are left at home because their parents are working double jobs. And they have a device, and that is really the challenge. But the tech companies, for example, Stop CSAM is one of the bills, and what that bill would create is more uniformity and more reporting requirements by the tech companies to law enforcement to protect children, as well as a report to how they did every year. Challenges is that as I'm in one room fighting for that bill, the tech lobby is in another room fighting against that bill. So I'm talking with bubblegum and duct tape, and you have like three Yale, two Harvard lawyers, you know, fighting for them not to do it.
Yeah, it's,
by the
it's
way, the tech, I was just going to say the tech lobby is bigger than oil and gas today.
But, you know, John, I have this vision that hundreds of us like march on Congress. And I know there are different events coming up now that we're done with COVID and people are getting together in person finally. You know, Hope on the Hill is coming up, that there's power in numbers, you know, and that I don't understand, you know, my thinking is about big tech, there's really no accountability. We hear the old argument, they hide behind Section 230 Communications Decency Act, which, you know, it's 1996, a lot has changed the internet landscape since it was born. And also, they put the burden on us. They put the burden on parents or caregivers with safety features and filters. And for instance, Apple iCloud right now is storing CSAM, and we're trying to work on that and notify them. And they're not doing their reporting. Why can't Congress attack it from that angle? I know there are bills and we're trying to do it, but at least, and I know, you know, big tech has a lot of money. And in my mind, I'm like, everybody, when they're done with Congress, wants to go work on a board of big tech. But that's just me thinking this. You know, we got to help our children, especially, John. I want your thoughts on entering into AI. It completely frightens me, and I'm not a frightened person. What's going to happen to children with AI, artificial intelligence?
So it's funny, just that, you know, I did a op in the op-ed in the Hill, but AI. Right now, by the end of the year, we'll be able to create our own six-year-old, for example, in a family, and just do that. I can, instead of grooming one person at a time, now I can groom at scale. So I can machine learn what children say, how they say it, and then implement a program basically to go out there and do that. So that's the AI problem. Now, are there AI solutions? Well, you know what? The tech companies can use AI maybe to scan for CSAM, right? They can scan. There are solutions, right? But the challenge is those solutions cost money. And generally, that's what it comes down to. Eventually, it comes down to the bottom line, right? Money. So for the companies, there's stockholders, for, you know, who they donate to. So ultimately, that's the biggest challenge. But, you know, if you look at it, if you look at every industry, whether it be tobacco, whether it be the auto industry, whether it be seatbelts, whether it be car seats, there's safety mechanisms throughout our history. There's just none for the tech industry right now.
Well, it's about time we have some, because this is just exploding. What do you want the listener to know right now? Like, what if they encountered their child being exploited? What would you advise them to do? Because the other thing they tell me is like, oh, we're so embarrassed. So we do nothing. We delete a picture. We delete a conversation. We delete the chat. And I'm telling them, no, do not do that. But what would you advise them to do?
So number one, never delete anything. Actually, number one, do not victim shame your kids. Your kids are victims. Ultimately they've been duped. You're 12, you're 13, you're 7 and 8, you know, children don't understand and they're victimized. So understand that, don't delete that, have conversations with them, and then preserve whatever information you can have, because that information, that I guarantee you, that individual is doing it to someone else. So you might be able to save someone else, from being sexually abused online.
And also, what do you need from the public? Because I always say, John, that community creates change. And we're living in a new environment, a new country these days, 2023. Everybody has to take part. If you don't have a child, you have a brother, a sister, a family friend, somebody, there are children in your lives. And as a community, we must all come together, grassroots, in order to make a difference. So what do you need at Raven? What is your number one, two thing? Because we have to help you get this work done.
So number one is, as a constituent, whoever your elected representative is, whether it's a Senate or a representative, as a constituent, if you ask to meet with them and you ask them, they have to take that. They normally do if you're a constituent. Like, for example, Chris Smith is mine and I can just walk into his office. We need those conversations. We need those conversations. If we're galvanizing people, talk to your elected officials. I mean, you know, look, support those that support protecting your children. I mean, ultimately, that is what we're trying to push for, because if we're able to do that and individuals that don't get elected anymore because they don't take the priority of protecting your children. Well, if that's not that priority, well, then you know what? Maybe you need not to be in office, so to speak. So that's what we're looking for. We're looking for people. The more people that can talk to their elected, the more people that can get involved that way, the more we can make a difference.
Yes, every voice counts. And not to be a Debbie Downer, John, but I am a constituent of Jerry Nadler, who for 5 years has refused to meet with me. But I'll just throw that in there. And Chuck Schumer. But I'll just leave that for now. But I continue to chip away at them here in New York. Give us some final words, because the work at Raven is without peer. And we're so thankful for you being really the only group, you know, advocating and lobbying and working so hard across the country, bringing all these voices together for what is exactly needed. So give us some final words before I let you go.
Final thoughts. So there are a lot of groups that are out there fighting. The only difference between those groups and us is that we worked the field, right? So right. Final words is that basically it's going to take all of us. I think that we're very persistent. You know, I'm very stubborn, you know, basically, and, you know, trying to take on a challenge and a task. But ultimately, if we're going to protect our children, it has to be through legislatively, because we can't do it otherwise anymore.
Great final words. House.gov, Senate.gov, find out who represents you if you don't know, and start calling, emailing, texting. And if you're old fashioned, you can actually write a letter and put a stamp on it. But John Pizzurro, I could talk to you all day. We will continue this. CEO of Raven, protecting children online and in real time. Thank you for joining me. And truly, God bless you and your team for the work you do. Infinite thanks. I keep saying it, but I'm truly honored. What you do is what everybody needs to hear about. The website is raven.us. Go there, support Raven, because children are not for sale. And John, I'll tell you again, you truly are a warrior, John Pizzurro. Let's talk again soon.
Appreciate it. Thank you so much, Lynn. Thank you.
You're welcome. This is today's News Talk, TNT Radio.
With his expert analysis and opinion, this is TNT Radio's Timothy Shea.
And just like that, border walls suddenly work. Border walls are necessary, and border walls should be built by the federal government. In a display of hypocrisy stunning for even the most hypocritical political administration in American history, the Biden administration, which defunded wall construction on day one, actively deconstructed portions of the wall that were working, and sold off panels that were necessary to complete construction of the wall for pennies on the dollar, now declares it a matter of national security to build a wall. I guess after 2.5 years of facilitating literally an invasion of our homeland, you've got a little elbow room, a little room to work, a little room to cravenly claim the moral high ground on an issue that patriotic America First Americans have been screaming about since 20 January 2021. Hypocrisy knows no bounds, and apparently the Biden administration doesn't either. But after all, there's an election coming up, so by any means necessary. From MAGAInstitute.com, this is Timothy Shea for TNT Radio.
Life doesn't always give you time to change the outcome. Prediabetes does. 1 in 3 adults has prediabetes, but with early diagnosis, prediabetes can be reversed. And you can change the outcome. Take the 1 minute prediabetes risk test today. Go to doihaveprediabetes.org.
There is a war on for your children. Children are under attack at every level and on every front, from the government, big tech, education, medical, Hollywood, and society. This is Lynn's Warriors with Lynn Shaw on today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
John Pizzurro, if you're just tuning in now, I am urging you, I'm going to be blasting this Lynn's Warriors for the next forever, actually. You know, we never have enough time to go into everything. He has an incredible law enforcement career in my home state of New Jersey. And he is now the CEO of Raven, and it's R-A-V-E-N, and that's raven.us. And you know, I was listening to him on another interview because I do my homework and researching him. And he was talking about, you know, he was switched, and he mentioned it today, into different areas of law enforcement, but he found the most fulfilling trying to help our innocent citizens, our children, our youth. And so he truly is, with his team, making such tremendous efforts and inroads with our government, the federal government, and that would be Washington, D.C., everybody, who, as John pointed out, you know, they're so easily distracted. I don't buy it, because if you're going to run for an office, if you're going to take that on, and especially today with social media and everything going on the way it is today, you better be ready to multitask. So John was very kind, but I'm not buying it. What could be more, you know, interesting or at risk? Or as I said to John, you know, you want to sit up in your chair and just yell or scream, and we have to do something, and we have to help parents and caregivers. We have to help families. We have to help our most vulnerable that don't have caring parents. So many kids are out there on their own. Children, children, children. I'm going to keep saying it because they are future. They are future leaders. So raven.us is the website. And he has brought together, as CEO, across the United States, many in law enforcement, many that work on policy in the government. Because I always tell you, you know, it's twofold. We educate the public so you know what's going on. But we also, the flip side of that is, we have to have policy. We have to have laws that say this is illegal. And this big tech, they are running amok. They are just making, and you might say, why? Because it's always money. My answer to you about everything is follow the money. There is so much money being made. There is so much being done online. And just today, I was reading earlier, at our border, how U.S. kids are being recruited on TikTok. And we've heard this before, but we don't talk about it. We talk about it for a day and then it kind of goes away. We have to keep talking about it. They're recruiting on TikTok, teens as young as 13 and 14, U.S. kids, $100. Now they're giving them $500 to help them, you know, pick up migrants. No, actually pick up illegal aliens. I want to stick with that because we want you to come to our country legally, not illegally. So you are an illegal alien. You're not a migrant. And picking them up in cars, hiding them in trunks, and just whisking them into the United States and getting paid all this money. A story I was reading, he said he makes easily $3,000 a month for just a couple of these trips, 15 years old. So it's always money. But it's TikTok. So why is that allowed on TikTok? When perhaps I'm talking about education for human trafficking and I'll get one view. Impossible. You decide. You think about it. You dig into that one. I like to say hashtag dig deeper. They allow certain things and they don't allow other things. But big tech also does have John Pizzurro. Raven, again, that is raven.us, raven like the bird, okay? They're the only lobbying group that can go to the Hill and really, although made up of many members with many different backgrounds, that can actively testify, can actively help to enforce what we need to do to stop this predation. Again, I shouldn't say stop it because we know we're not going to stop it. We need to intervene, hold accountable, and prevent new victims. That has to be our rallying cry. It's very frightening, but people like John devoting their lives, the warriors, we're devoting everything we've got to educate you, because these are the pressing issues of our time, our children, our families. Big tech's not going away. I tell you that all the time. You know it. Increasing. And you heard John talk about they can develop, you know, a six-year-old child, and there could be multi-grooming at one time. So we've got to get to the kids, and we've got to start with what is going on online. And if something happens to them, it's okay to come tell us, because we're going to say, huh, we're going to take care of that. No predator is going to, you know, walk ahead of us. We're going to shut them down. And that's what needs to be done, that you need to become a warrior. I can't stress that enough. You know, we just finished the month of September, and that is National Suicide Prevention Awareness Month. I want to remind everybody, we need to have National Suicide Prevention Awareness every single moment of every single day, every single week, every single month. 988 is the new three-digit code, and I am happy to report in the New York, we call it the tri-state area, which is New Jersey, New York, Connecticut. For the first time, I saw huge billboards all around saying, if you're thinking of suicide, talking about it, use 988. Because 988, that three-digit code, came into existence in July of 2022. Yet when I did my focus group, when I talked to people, when I talked to teens, nobody knows about 988. It is there for you. It is there for you if you're in crisis. It is there for you just to ask questions. It is there for you if you just want to see, well, what's available in my community. They will direct you. It's somebody to talk to. So again, it's 988. We all need to know. We know about 911 because everybody I talk to knows about 911 if you have an emergency, but they don't know about 988. So it's our duty to share that 988. I want to get back to the UK recently announced just this week that they're really thinking of getting all phones out of schools. And we at the Warriors have been rallying for that. You can go to our website, lindswarriors.org. There's a take action. Because we have nothing like that in the United States. We do have schools participating right now, but it's on an individual school by school or school district by school district. So you, as the parent, have to follow our template on our website, lindswarriors.org, and bring it to your school. It's very simple. We don't want phones in the schools, you know, whatever the kids are in there today, 5, 6, 7 hours, at least during that chunk of time. They are forced to interact, perhaps learn from their teachers, not isolating. And, you know, lunchtime, break time, if they're out in the yard, the younger kids, they're forced to interact with each other. And that's what we have to get back to. I know it sounds very simple, but we are in a desperate situation right now where we need to really get people back together, making that eye contact, shaking that hand, just playing. Get off the devices. And it starts with, in your home, 15 minutes a day for everybody, parents included. You put the devices down. We know we have lots of studies. I'm not going to sit here. Time is valuable and read off these studies and where they came from and bore you with all of this. We have plenty of studies that tell us kids, two things, during the school hours, because there are a handful of schools doing very well in the United States right now. They do not allow phones, and the kids are doing better academically and socially. And that's what we want for our children. That's all children. Because remember, there's parental autonomy. I can't tell you, nobody can tell you when to buy your child a phone. Kids are showing up, you know, second grade with phones in their backpacks. Think about that. Think about a phone for an eighth grader, perhaps. Delay is the way. Think of that. Delay is the way. But it starts with you because you have to lead by example, because believe you me, these kids are watching us. You may not think so. They are savvy to everything we do and they know what's going on. So keep an eye on that. But start with your school and start by trying to get some of the other parents. So there's a group of you. Remember, what do I always tell you? Power. There's power in numbers. And bring it to your school. Or if they say, go to your school board meeting, something all parents need to do today, school board meetings, know what's going on, know who's on these school boards, join, be an active participant, know what the curriculum is your child is learning, know what books they're reading. The problem here in the United States, though, is many schools are forcing kids to actually, during the school day, use their phone to help with their lessons. So we have to work on getting away from that. They can certainly use their book or, you know, the computers are in the classrooms. So there's a lot. You know, I always think of it as a big wheel with a lot of spokes, and all these spokes make this overwhelming wheel go around. And you can't be so overwhelmed, though. You got to step back, take a breath, that you can't handle what we talk about here on the Warriors. We've got to get the phones out of schools for whatever those 5 hours, 6 hours a day. And we also have to rally around. You know, we have a movement called Let's Rally, hashtag Let's Rally. And that is directed right at Apple, because Apple right now is storing CSAM, child sexual abuse material, on their iCloud. Now, this is the most ridiculous thing. Anything with a minor is against the law. They know what's going on. They're doing nothing. I'm asking all of you, I'm urging all of you, you, the listener, this is how you can help. Because you ask me every day, what can I do to help? I'm telling you, you, listener, go to lynnswarriors.org. Go to our Take Actions. It's right there for you. It's all written out. All you have to do is add your name, zip code. You hit the send button and off it goes to Tim Cook, CEO of Apple, and all of his minions, or I should say his additional board members at Apple, and make them aware. Now, at last count, we were at about 10,000 2 days ago. We need 1 million, not 10,000. 10,000 is the population of the block next door to me here in New York City. We need 1 million of you. Apple, think about this. They will not address this. They know what's going on. Again, you ask why this abuse, why this predation? Because there's lots of money to be made. Our children, their eyeballs, they're swiping, they're constant swiping. So you have to do it. You have to be part of the Let's Rally Against Apple. And just add your name. And all we're asking them to do is take down this child abuse, this child sexual abuse material. Just take it down. Why is it so hard? Twitter, Facebook, videos of children, including babies. I know that's hard to hear or think about. Just know it's there on every single platform you use, I use. These abuse videos are there. Why can't the platforms take them down? You know the technology's there. Then again, we have the flip side of people saying, well, that infringes upon our privacy. I don't know if the rape of a baby, where's the privacy of a child? Where's the balance? So I don't want to hear that argument because we have plenty of bills right now, and they're coming out of the woodwork. These, I'll call them, these fringe people, these fringe tech people, or at least that's the way I look at them. You know, we have Kids Online Safety Act. Again, all this is bipartisan. And we have the Earn It Act. It's just big tech holding them accountable. Take these videos down. Stop CSAM Act. The Report Act. And I could go on and on what we have pending in Congress. But all big tech has to do is take down these videos of minors. People actually writing things, tech companies, they're concerned about the privacy of people. Again, I say, what about the privacy of children and families? Because we have a rash of youth suicides. A lot of this sextortion, especially targeted at teenage boys, where they're so embarrassed, which again, I'm going to remind you, we have to get over this embarrassment. So what? A nude photo. So what? The kids are seeing everything anyway online. Big deal. Take it down. Don't be embarrassed, right? Take it down. Actually, that's another act we have in Congress. For big tech to take it down. Because remember, once a photo is there, kids always say to me, I deleted it. The parents will say, I deleted it. I say, delete nothing. Because it's always captured. It's shared to porn sites or other platforms. And that's the problem. People have to be aware. We have to continue this education. We have to understand it is up to us to make a difference. I'm going to keep telling you about all of this. Because again, people are vulnerable a lot, especially the last couple of years coming through COVID, coming out of COVID. And every day it's like getting hit over the head with, right now. And really, not to get too political, we have this war in Israel. And where did my mind go this morning when I woke up to hear about this? The children. Can you imagine how scared children must be? I can't imagine. And so now we have this distraction of, not that it's a distraction, it's devastation, it's horrific. We have an actual war going on. We have Ukraine. We have our government not leading by example. This is what the kids are watching, leading to more vulnerability. So they're seeking solace. They're seeking friends online. And those are mostly these strangers because the predators are there. The predators are there. I can tell you since I started the program almost an hour ago, probably in the United States, over 200 kids have been exploited. Of those 200 kids, about 40% will attempt to go out into the public and meet this stranger. It's almost 100 kids. Think about it. You better get with the program. please sign up for our newsletter. Go to lynnswarriors.org. I made it very simple because I named everything Lynn's Warriors. Not because I have an ego, because I want everybody to step up and truly become a warrior, because that's what it takes in 2023. So remember, it's up to us to make a difference. It's up to you. Thank you for listening. I have so much more to tell you. Tune in next Saturday, 3 p.m. Eastern. We're all over the world on TNT Radio. TNTradio.live is the website. Write to me, ask me questions. I'll answer all of them. We're here for you. Thank you always to Alex, our engineer on the board, for keeping all running smoothly, Ruckus, our producer, and our entire TNT family for giving us this platform to share critical and crucial news and information with you that you need to know. Until we meet again, this is Lynn's Warriors on today's News Talk, TNT Radio. Remember, today and every day, it's 2023. You can no longer sit on the sidelines. Time to take action. Engage, educate, empower yourselves and your kids. Community creates change today and every day. Now go out and be a warrior.